Good evening and welcome to our services tonight at O'Neill. We do have visitors among us and we definitely appreciate your presence tonight, and we definitely welcome you back at any opportunity that you have to be with us here at O'Neill. Probably a week or so ago, I posted on Facebook this little phrase, life is. And Miss Kathy, she kind of pointed, she said, is this going to be a sermon? And I said, you know, just put a little smiley face. It might be. Life is. If you could fill in the blank, what would you put? And I had several people that said several different things, but here are some of them that I pulled off. Life is, it's precious. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. It's a bed of roses. It's the greatest thing God has given us. It's but a vapor. Some people said it's too short. It's too short to be unhappy. It's a journey of highs and lows that you learn and grow from along the way. It's a daily blessing. Life is a gift from God. Life is family. Life is an open book test. Life is Jesus Christ. Life is knowing who is in control, my God. Life is a crazy, beautiful ride. Life is like a butterfly. Life is a lesson. Life is not fair. And it goes on and on. Adventure, a hardest teacher, full of ups and downs. Making preparations for eternity. Life is our chance to make a difference. It's learning to put our trust and our confidence in the Lord. Life is a journey. You choose where it leads. Choose carefully. It's only as good as a mindset. So many different things that people have to say. And that got me thinking, well, what was that person thinking that day? How did they feel about life at that particular point? Of all the ones that people posted, this was probably the most popular, the very last one that I have on here. Life is what you make it. Life is what you make it. So if you have a positive outlook, if you have a negative outlook, who does that depend on? It depends on me. It depends on you. It depends on our attitude. Our attitude. The way we think or the way we feel about something or someone. So how's our attitude tonight? Can we truly say, as the psalmist said in Psalms 122, verse 1, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Brother Will has done a really good job on leading us on Psalms. And from my standpoint of where I'm at, everybody was singing out and it sounded pretty good to me. But were you really glad to be here? Is there something else that you would rather be doing? Were you singing? Were you praying whenever we had prayer? Do you have a smile on your face? Are you really glad to be here? Now, no one else can really see, especially people in the back, can't see the people's faces in the front, or maybe can't even notice that someone else is singing, but when you're standing from up here, you get to see everybody's expression. You get to see what people, and the song leader, when he's looking out, he gets to see whose mouths are open and whose mouths are closed. Are we really glad to be here? Are we really worshiping Him and in spirit and in truth? Someone said before, the attitude is everything. How do you feel about God? How do you feel about going to church? How do you feel about forgiveness and eternity? How do you feel about your family? Especially those who are the ones that aren't the easy ones to get along with. How do you feel about hatred? Hatred in this world. How do you feel about people who are different than you? How do you feel about sin? It's all about our attitude, right? And how we think about these things, how we feel about these things. You know, the wise man said here in Proverbs 23, verse 7, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. As you think in your heart, so are you. It's important for us to be able to guard our hearts and to know what's going into our heart as that is going to be expressed in our attitude toward things. Attitude, again, is everything. It says this one quote, life is 10% of what happens to you, but 90% of how you react to it. Think about that. Life is 10% of what happens to you, but 90% of how you react to it. When things are not going good, how do you react? Do you have a good attitude? Do you have a bad attitude? And if attitude is everything, and your attitude is the one that's determining your direction, what direction are you going? What direction am I going? When bad things do happen, do we question God? Why do bad things happen to good people? If God is so good, why does He let bad things happen? Is that what happens? Is that the attitude that we put out sometimes when we're going through hard things and hard times? Or we see things that are happening to other people, do we question God? Do we get upset with God? Or do we have a positive attitude? Do we look at like this person might have? Keep your head up. God gives His hardest battles to His strongest soldiers. It's easy to say, hard to do sometimes, but it's good to have a positive attitude. Here's another one. Be thankful for the bad things in life, for they open your eyes to the good things you weren't paying attention to before. We have so many blessings. We can get so bogged down and focused on the things that aren't going right that we can forget that God has truly blessed us with so many things. Think about Paul. Paul is in prison. He's in prison. And he's writing the letter to the Philippians. In Philippians 1:27, here's what he's writing about. He says, "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else I'm absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast and you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind striving together for the faith of the gospel." What's he talking about here? It's whatever happens, he wants them, you conduct yourself in a manner that is worthy to the gospel of Christ. What's he talking? He's talking about their attitude. Telling them about, have a good attitude. Have a positive attitude. I'm not there. I'm in prison. I'm in chains. But here Paul is, talking to them about having a good attitude. If he can be locked up and have that attitude and that he's still trying to further Christ, the gospel of Christ, we should also have a great attitude toward others. What about in Philippians chapter 2? When he says, "Let this mind be in you, which also is in Christ Jesus." He's telling them, let us have that mind of Jesus. Well, what is the mind of Jesus? Well, when you start in Philippians chapter 2, verse 1, he says, If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye may be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Having a positive mindset about the blessings that God has given us, the blessings that Jesus is giving us, the things that Jesus went through, whatever we're going through in this life, have that mind of Jesus. He goes there and he says, and Paul is again encouraging people to be followers of God as dear children. What's he telling them? You be imitators of Christ. You be like Jesus Christ. Now, how many of us in here are perfect? That's not what he's saying, is it? He said, you be like Jesus. How? Again, humble, lowly, serving others, having love toward others. See, as children, as children love to imitate what they see and what they repeat. I'm sure your kids, whenever you do something, they would repeat it back to you when they were younger. Well, see, that's what we're to do. As we are modeling and imitating Christ's behavior, that's why he tells us to let your light so shine before men. Letting it shine. Positive attitude, is that letting your light shine? Or a negative attitude, is that letting your light shine? Which is it? So when I'm thinking about, when Matt thinks about his attitude, and Matt has to think about that sometimes. Sometimes I don't have the right attitude, and I've got to think about that. But I'm letting my light shine. Who am I letting it shine for? Is it for myself? No, it's for my Father. When you let your light shine, when you have that positive attitude, others are seeing your good works, because they're able to glorify your Father, which is in heaven. You know, when I think about Jesus, and I think about as we need to be the imitator of Jesus Christ, I think about Him and Him maintaining His attitude in every situation. When you think about all the things they just kept on nagging about, and people would follow him, and he had to go, and they just kept on and on and on. But he still had that positive attitude. He prayed about everything, and he didn't worry about anything. You see, when we seek God's guidance, when we seek his guidance in every aspect of our lives, and we allow him to work out his perfect will without interference, when we allow him to do that, he's in control. And we allow Jesus' attitude to, we allow his attitude to become our attitude. Jesus, he wasn't defensive. He wasn't discouraged. He wasn't depressed. His goal was to do what? His goal was to please the Father. To achieve whose agenda? Jesus' agenda or his Father's agenda? He was there to please his Father, to achieve his Father's agenda. See, when we're going through trials, when Jesus was going through trials, he was patient. When he was suffering, he was hopeful. When he was in the middle of blessings, he was humble. Even when he was ridiculed, as we see here, who, when he reviled not again. When he was suffered, he threatened not, but he committed himself to judge righteously. He committed himself to him that judges righteously. He didn't retaliate. Instead, he entrusted himself to the one who judges justly. What about us? What about Matt? How's Matt's attitude? How is your attitude? Sometimes, like I said, my attitude isn't what it should be. Sometimes I may develop a bad attitude, and sometimes I'm sure we've all had developed bad attitudes, maybe toward our parents. Teenagers especially may develop attitudes toward their parents. Maybe parents develop attitudes toward their kids, toward a family member, toward your job, maybe a coworker, maybe in school, maybe the teacher. What about in the church? Do we develop attitudes toward the elders, deacons, members, preacher? Do we develop an attitude toward God sometimes? What does it say here? When we have a bad attitude in life, it says it's like a flat tire. If you don't change it, you're not going to go anywhere. Sometimes we need to change our attitude. We need good attitudes. A great attitude becomes a great day, which becomes a great month, which becomes a great year, which becomes a great life. Having that great attitude, that positive attitude. He says you can't have a good day with a bad attitude, and you can't have a bad day with a good attitude. You know, sometimes, though, what's so sad is that we know this, but sometimes members of the church sometimes can have the worst attitudes. I don't understand why that is sometimes. And I'm including myself in that sometimes. I can have a bad attitude. It's, why? Why would I have a bad attitude? When we have such a perfect example to strive for, to look at. Our life is a reflection of our attitude. So that makes me think, okay, Matt, what's your life? Or what's your attitude? Then there's something going on in my life, and maybe I need to change something. See, without noticing it, sometimes we become so negative towards life, and then we become negative towards everything. And how can you or how can I further the gospel of Christ if someone sees us as someone who is negative, someone who has developed a bad attitude toward others? We need good attitudes. We need that attitude of Philip. That attitude of Philip is in verse 29 when the Spirit told Philip to go. What did Philip do? Philip takes off running. He runs after him. He's running there. He heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. Do you understand what you're reading? We need to have attitudes that we have people in this world that need Jesus, that need to be saved, and we need to be running to them and telling them about Jesus Christ. Or are we walking, or we're not going at all? But see, Philip's running paid off because he commanded the chariot to stand still, and what did they do? Philip and the eunuch, he went down into the water and he baptized him. You know, are we running to someone to teach them God's Word? Or are we just hesitating and not saying anything? What about this? What about Isaiah? When there's work to do, what is our attitude? Isaiah, what was his? As he's going over, recalling his vision from God, and he's talking, and he said, he heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And what does he say? "Here am I, send me." Is that an attitude that we possess? That'd be a great attitude for everybody to possess. It's, "Here I am, send me." When I look about, when I think about the work in the Lord's church, teaching Bible classes, visiting and helping those who are in need, taking care of the building, preparing to lead, whether it's the Brother God's been going over, the elders and the deacons and preachers, song leaders, and just the men, whatever you do, whatever work there is, are you excited and saying, "Yes, let me do it. Let me teach." Or is it, "Let someone else teach. Let someone else sing. Let someone else lead." Or do we have that attitude of Isaiah who's saying, "Here I am, send me. I want to do the work." What about the attitude of Job? Thinking about Job and Job, here he is. Job is described as the greatest of all the men of the East. Can you imagine being labeled as the greatest of the men of the East? Large herds of sheep, of camels, of oxen, of donkeys. Evidently a very wealthy man. But when we look at his faith, because you see, all of his oxen and all of his donkeys were stolen. His servants were killed. Fire came down from heaven and consumed all those sheep and other servants. Another group of people come in and stole all of his camels and killed the servants that were with them. Another time, his seven sons and his three daughters were eating together, and this great wind comes and knocks the building down and kills all of his kids. How's your attitude? How was his attitude? "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. This says, the Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Is that an attitude that we can have? After something like that, after everything we have is taken away. He said, "Though he slay me, yet I will trust him." What a great attitude to have. What a great attitude for everybody, for each and every one of us to have. You see, his attitude was based on life after death. He knew those things were temporal. He knew where it came from. "If a man dies, shall he live again? All the days of my hard service, I will wait till my change comes." He knew something else was coming. And because of his faith and because of his trust, he was rewarded. In Job 42, verse 12, "Now the Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than his beginning." And for Christians, the new life will be a reward that is far greater than what he's blessed us with here. So what kind of attitude do I need to have? What about in Joshua's farewell address, it's Joshua and the attitude that he had in leading the home? "Now therefore fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord," told him in his farewell address. You see, that kind of attitude is contagious, because what happened? Because they said, they told him, as he's telling them, you know, not to serve God, and if you do, this is going to happen. They said, "No, but we will serve the Lord." See, that attitude is contagious. And each one must determine this for ourselves. What about the attitude of Stephen? Having that attitude of boldness, when he could stand before them, and he could tell someone when they were wrong. When he could say, "You stiff-necked and you uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Spirit. As your fathers did, so do you." Sometimes we have to have that attitude. And it's not a bad attitude here. He's speaking the truth to them. But what did it cost him? It cost him his life. We have Paul, who's praying for this same boldness when he says, "For me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. What a great attitude to have, speaking boldly for Jesus Christ. Speaking boldly for the gospel. An attitude sometimes that many religious people lack. Just like in John chapter 12, verse 42. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also, many of them believed on him. But what did they do? Because the Pharisees didn't confess him, because they lest they be put out, sent out of the synagogue, they were quiet. They didn't stand up for what they needed to stand up for. What about Paul's attitude and his attitude of courage? His courage, when he said, I can do all things. He didn't say, there's some things I can't do. He said, no, I can do all things. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can is the first step in success, and I can is the first step in failure. Which is it for us? When we think about the promises that have been promised, we got to have a good attitude because there's so many wonderful things that God has promised us. Think about the attitude of being humble. Humble on the day of Pentecost when he says, here they've been told what they needed to do, and what do they say? Men and brethren, what shall we do? They've heard the word. The word has pricked their hearts. They've humbled themselves and they're ready to do something. They know they're not in a state that they are on good terms with God, and we need to get this corrected, he said, they're feeling. What shall we do? What can I do to be saved? You see, a good attitude is one that's going to humbly obey the Lord's commands. Because we can see whenever he talks to them and he tells them what they need to do, what did they do? They gladly, what a great attitude, they gladly received the word and were baptized. About 3,000 souls. Brother Guy, what would that look like? 3,000 souls coming that wanted to be baptized. They wanted to be his child that humbled themselves before God. What about us? What about us tonight as we close? Thinking about keeping our mind on God's ultimate goal. Sometimes it's not comfort. It's not for us to have comfort. Sometimes it's for us to have that mind of Christ. In whatever state that we are, to be content, to be happy, to have a good attitude of however we are in life, so that we can further the kingdom of God, not to be conformed to the world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, that we may prove what is good and what is acceptable and perfect will of God. This doesn't mean that we lose our personalities. This doesn't mean that he wants us to grow spiritually. He wants us to be like Christ. He wants us to have Christ-likeness. Paul tells us. He tells us to not be conformed. He tells us to be transformed. So tonight when we're thinking about our attitudes, when I'm thinking about my attitude, how is it? What's my attitude toward eternity? Am I ready for it? And if I'm not a Christian tonight, what's my attitude about becoming a Christian? Why won't I become one? The kids, they can recite those things. And when someone knows they're lost, what do you need to do? What's your attitude of when you know you're lost? I hope our attitude is always to get right. To get right with God as we believe and as we repent and confess and as we are baptized and wash away our sins and walk in a new life. And that new life is to have a good attitude toward life because God is the one that gave it to us. And if we're a Christian and maybe our attitude isn't what it needs to be, just like that flat tire, sometimes we've got to change it. So is your attitude, is your life in some need of improvements tonight? If you're subject to the Lord's invitation, won't you come as we stand and sing this invitation?